Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Hallelujah! God is good. God is good all the time. All the time He's good. It's great to be in the house of God this morning. It's good to be here. I'm so thankful that God is good, that God is kind, that God is merciful, amen? That God will always give you what you need. Who needs something in here today? Anybody got some needs in here today? God will always give you what you need and never what you deserve. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. That's the love and the mercy of God. You know, God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you too much to let you stay that way, amen? And so when we hear His Word and we apply His Word and we listen to the leading of the Holy Ghost, when we're in the presence of God, what's happening is God's taking us where we are to where He wants us to be, amen? To that place of healing, to that place of victory, to that place of revelation, to that place of boldness in our faith, to that place, amen? You know, we used to sing a song called Take Me to That Place. I used to love that song. But you know, when you're in the presence of God, when you let God do what God wants to do in your life, it's going to move you, it's going to mold you, it's going to heal you, amen? It's going to give you boldness. You know, I had an instructor in school that always used to say that boldness is always the result of knowledge. When you know who you are in Christ, when you know who God is, amen, it makes you bold. It makes you bold. And so if you're here this morning and you're not very bold in what the Word says, you're not bold in stepping out in faith, you're not bold in that, it's not that there's something wrong with you. Just tell yourself, there's nothing wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you, amen? You just need to know a little more. You just need to know a little more. You know, the enemy's always trying to get us to say, what's wrong with me? This isn't working. What's wrong with me? This isn't going right. What's wrong with me? There's nothing wrong with you. Amen? There's nothing wrong with you. You have inside you what it takes to get going in the right direction. You have inside you what it takes for the dreams and the call of God on the inside of you. You have it inside of you. There's nothing wrong with you. You may just need to know a little more. You may just need to step away from something that's not of God in your life. There's nothing wrong with you. Amen? Don't let the enemy tell you there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. You're created in the image and the likeness of God Himself. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. The Holy Ghost is dwelling on the inside of you. There's nothing wrong with you. Amen? You've got what it takes. You got what it takes. Amen? I say this to myself a lot. I say, I got get up power on the inside of me. Amen? I got get up power. I can get up out of anything because I got get up power in me. And that get up power is the presence and the Holy Ghost Himself. The Bible says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it didn't disappear after it raised Jesus from the dead. Now it dwells in you. And if it can get up Jesus out of that tomb, it can get you up out of whatever you need to get up out of. Amen? There's nothing wrong with you. There's too much right with you for there to be anything wrong with you. God's in you. God's in you. Amen? And so I just encourage you today. That might be for somebody you've been asking yourself, what's wrong with me? What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with you. You may just need to know a little more. Amen? Need to get into the Word a little more. You need to step out in faith a little more. Amen? But you got inside you what it's going to take to get you wherever you need to be. Glory to God. Well, that's just a freebie. Amen? Hallelujah. We're in a series we started it last week, and it's called Goliath Has Got to Go. He's got to go. And there's just some things. And you say, well, what's a Goliath? The Goliath was a giant in the Bible. And there's giants. There's giants in the land. How many know that's true? There's giants in the land. And one of them might be sitting on your stuff. One of them might be sitting on your healing. One of them might be sitting on your finances. There's a bunch of them sitting on our nation. Yes. Amen. But you know what? They have got to go. They got to go. And so we're going to talk today some more about giants and they got to go. You know, we all face them. We all deal with them. We're all taunted by them. That, you know, giants, you know, they got a big vocabulary. Well, actually, they don't. They kind of say the same thing all the time. You know, but they say you can't do it. You can't make it. There's something wrong with you. You're defective. Whatever your giant says to you. It's just a weapon of the enemy. But, you know, they come in all different sizes. They come in different names. And I don't know what yours is. It might be lack. It might be depression. It might be fear. It might be stress. It might be anxiety. It might be procrastination. It might be sin or an addiction, insecurity, discouragement. I don't know what it is. I don't know what your battle is. But I know one thing. It's got to go. Amen. And so I want everybody, just for a minute, I just want you to, wherever you're sitting at today, I just want you to sit there and I want you to say, you know what? I know the enemy has got to go. I know he does. I know he's got to go. But, you know, in order to say and to know the enemy's got to go, you got to know what it is. Sometimes we've had our head in the sand so long, we're not even recognizing what's holding us back anymore. We can't even identify it. Listen, if you can't identify something, you can't speak to it. You got to be able to speak to things that are holding you up in your life. We got to be able to speak. No matter what ugly name it has, it doesn't matter how ugly it is in your life, Jesus is bigger. Amen. Doesn't matter how long it's held you back, Jesus is bigger. Doesn't matter how big of a giant it is, Jesus has no rival. He has no equal. Amen? So it doesn't matter. And so I just want you to take a minute, just right where you're at, I want you to take a minute and I want you to say, you know what? What really? I had somebody send me a text earlier today, actually last week after last week's message. And they said, you know, talking about them and their husband, they said, you know, we never realized it. We never realized it until the Holy Ghost, through the message and through the word, showed us. But money is a Goliath in our life. All of our decisions are based on money. Do we have enough? Stepping out in faith because they grew up with no money. And so now money is such a big, big issue in their life. Every decision, every thought, everything they do revolves around money. And not that they're you know, want a bunch of stuff. They're just, it's a stronghold. And so they said, we never realized it, but money has been a Goliath in our life. And there are things the Lord has told us to do that we haven't stepped out and done because of fear of not having enough money. And they said, but we realized it and we've begun to speak to that Goliath. We've begun to tell that Goliath, he has got to go. Amen? And so you know what? Just like they had that revelation of the Goliath in their life, I want to just take a minute where you're at. And I want you to just kind of see and say, you know, what's holding me back? What's stopping me? Is it fear? Is it fear of the future, which is anxiety? Is it depression, which is fear from what happened in the past? You know, depression focuses on the past and anxiety focuses on the future. What is it? Is it money? Is it hurt? You've been hurt? Is it a brokenness? You grew up in a rough situation with no words of encouragement, only words that tore you down. You know, what is it? Because once you're bold and confident enough to name it, then you can start telling it, it's got to go. Amen? It's got to go. But sometimes we're like those horses. You know, you ever seen horses and they got those big blinders on their eyes? You know why they put those there? So they don't get scared. They don't see something from the side. They don't get scared. They don't get jolted. You know, just because you don't want to look at it doesn't mean it's not there. It's still there. And so I just want you to take a minute, just take a minute right where you're at and ask yourself, what is it? What is it that I need to speak to? What is it that needs to go? What is it that's gotta say, nope, not happening today? What lie is the enemy telling you? What lie is the enemy telling you? You know, and sometimes we don't want to face things. Listen, not facing something doesn't make it go away. Not facing something isn't going to make your marriage better. It's going to make it weaker. Husbands, not facing stuff going on in your marriage and just letting things go doesn't make it better. It's going to explode one day. Not facing things in our finances, not facing things with insecurity and things like that that are going on in our life, it's not going to help anything. It's just going to, those giants just seem to get bigger. We want to tell giants where to go. Amen? And so just for a minute, right where we're at, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a minute, let's ask ourselves. Maybe you need to write it down. Maybe you need to go in there and say, you know what? You've got to go. You've got to go. What is it? What is it? Just right where you're at, I just want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think about it. What has got to go? What has got to go? What's been trying to give you problems? What's been trying to tell you that it's too big, that it's bigger than you, that it's bigger than the Word of God, that it's bigger than what anybody says? It's bigger. What's been taunting you so long that it's just become part of your life? That insecurity, that temper, that anger, what is it? What is it? It's just been in your life so long, you're like, well, this is just how it is. No, that's how you're letting it be. That's how you're letting it be. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Glory to you, Lord. It does not have to be that way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a minute now. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you. Sometimes we rush through things so fast, we're missing it. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Let the Holy Ghost talk to you. Thank you, Lord. Insecurity is a big one. Insecurity is a big one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us see. Help us know. Help us know what needs to go. Ooh, that's a good one. Help us know what needs to go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Help us know. Help us know those sneaky things that are causing havoc in our marriages. Those sneaky things that are causing havoc in our relationships, in our jobs. We keep saying, oh, everybody's being mean to me, but let's be honest, something's going on there. Something's going on there. It's in us. Thank you, Lord. What's that thing that the Lord's been telling you? You got to let that go. You got to let that go. You got to let that go. You got to walk away from that. Got to walk away from it. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, and God's so good. He's so good. Praise Him. Now we know what it is. And sometimes, you know, I remember I preached a message a long time ago. I don't know, several months ago. I was talking about Lazarus at the tomb. And with his sister Martha, she was so desperate. She was so desperate for her brother Lazarus. She was grieving the loss of him. She was so upset. She was upset with Jesus. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, Lord, if you had been here, all you need to do is say the word. She kept saying all the things that she knew, just like we do. I got to have faith. I got to stand. I got to speak the word. But then when Jesus was going to move in her life and going to make something happen, she immediately said, wait. Because Jesus said, roll the stone away. And when Jesus said, roll the stone away, the same woman who was saying, oh, Jesus, if you had been here, Jesus, all you need to do is speak the word. But when he went to move, when he went to do something, that same person said, wait a minute, that's going to stink. wait a minute, that's going to stink. And you know what? I believe that there's some giants in our life. And as soon as God begins to move, we're like, wait a minute, that's going to make me uncomfortable. Wait a minute, that's going to expose some stuff. Wait a minute, wait a minute. You know, we're like, wait a minute, Lord, I'm not ready for that. Wait a minute, Lord, I'm not ready for that. But you know what? If you want life in something dead, you got to let Jesus roll the stone away. If you want life in something dead, you got to let it move some stuff in your life. You know, we're so like, don't change anything. Don't move. Don't do this. That makes me uncomfortable. And God's saying, if you won't let me move this, you can't have the life that's behind this. Yes. Amen. And so, yeah, it might stink. It might stink and it might be uncomfortable and maybe it's been dead for a long time or maybe it's a sin you got hidden and it really stinks. It's something you don't want to talk about. You don't want anybody to know about. And God's saying, listen, if you'll let me move this, there's life behind it. Sometimes in marriage, that's how it is. We don't want to deal with anything. We don't want to have tough conversations because we don't want to deal with it because it's going to stink for a little while. Listen, when you deal with stuff, healthy relationships have friction. But healthy relationships let the friction flow sometimes. You can't keep stifling stuff down. You can't keep hiding stuff. Because we don't want to deal with what's going to happen. I don't want to deal with confessing my sin because then everybody will know there's life behind that. Yes. Amen. There's life behind that. There's freedom behind that. Because when Lazarus came out of that tomb, he was all wrapped in death clothes. And what did Jesus say? He said, loose him and let him go. The freedom you're looking for many times is found behind something uncomfortable. It's found behind something that, man, when God wants to move it, and we want to hold on to it. It's found behind dealing with things from our childhood. It's found behind owning up to our own mistakes and our own shortcomings. It's found behind that stuff that makes us uncomfortable and pushes us a little bit. But that's where the freedom and the life you're looking for is found. You got to let Jesus roll that stone. You got to let Jesus into those deep parts of your life. You got to let Jesus in that closet at home that nobody knows is there. You got to let Jesus in there. Because wherever Jesus is, there's light. There's light. And it's hard to say, you know what, I've got issues. I've got problems. There's some things in my life that, you know, I don't think right in this area. Listen, if you have unhealthiness all around you, look, own it. It's you. It's you, you know? I mean, it's funny how we want to point fingers at everybody, and usually when we're critical with everybody else, it's because we've got something going on ourselves. Yeah. If you find yourself pointing out the faults and being critical to everybody else, the person you need to be looking at is you. We got to look at ourselves and say, man, what's going on with me? Because sometimes I don't want to deal with me, so I'm going to make everybody see your faults. That's called deflecting. But Jesus is like, hey, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to move that stone away in your life. He wants to bring freedom to you. This isn't about your neighbor. It's not about your husband. It's not about your wife. It's not about your kids. It's about you. But so often we're like, Yeah, but we got to say, all right, Lord, what do you want to deal with in me? And I believe in that moment of quiet that we had, you know, our world is so busy. Everything's always on. The TV's on. The phone is on. Everything's on. Very seldom do we have moments of silence. And in that moment of silence that we just had, it was just not even a minute. People were uncomfortable. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable if you want freedom. Amen. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable if you want a healthy relationship. You got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because Jesus wants to roll some stones in here. He wants to roll some stones away in our hearts and say, hey, this is what You got to deal with that. You got to deal with that. Amen. And so when we're talking about giants, don't let that giant camp in your life just because you're uncomfortable telling him where to go. You know, I don't like confrontation. It's not my thing. I don't like it. But you know what? It's a necessary part of life. It's a necessary part of life. Because if you don't confront some things in your life, they'll think they have the freedom to stay there. But we need to declare victory today. Whatever that thing is, whatever it is, whatever's behind that stone, whatever's making you so uncomfortable, whatever's holding you back, whatever Goliath is taunting you and telling you, I don't have to go anywhere. I've been here for years. I don't have to go anywhere. This is how you are. Let's speak to it today and let's declare victory. Amen. Let's declare victory today. Say that with me. Say, I have the victory. Right now. No matter what. My brother used to say this. He used to say, the only fight we lose is the fight we quit. Because we don't, you know, on Wednesday night we had Will Harper here, and he just amazingly spoke on David and Goliath. And he said this, and we've all heard it before, but sometimes you need to hear it from somebody else to be reminded. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Amen? You already have the victory. Jesus has done all he's going to do. That may be a disappointment to some of you because you don't know what he did. Jesus has already done. Sometimes you say that to people, they're like, wait, what? What? Jesus already defeated the enemy. He already healed your body. He already paid the price for sin. He already bore poverty. He already did all that. And he's saying, I gave you the victory. Now you enforce it. I gave it to you. Now you enforce it. And so he said, I already did it. Now you just have to enforce it. And he said, I'll give you all you need to enforce it. I'll give you my name, the beautiful name of Jesus. The name at which every knee must bow. The name above every other name. He said, you can use my name. You can use my name. A name carries power. A name carries power. I remember Justin Clark, he told this testimony. He said in one of his first messages that he ever preached, I'm sure he's preached many from now, but years ago he was a youth leader, and he gave a message, and he gave a message on authority. And he gave this illustration. He said, we were all at River Ranch, and the kids were getting a little crazy, and I was youth pastor then, and he told the kids, he said, hey, you stop that. And they just kind of looked at him like, you know? And then he said, Pastor Peggy said, and they stopped. He said, why didn't they stop for me? And I said, because they know I'm the boss. He said, they know I'll send them home. And you know what? He said, that's when I understood authority. Yes. Listen, the enemy, he knows your name don't matter. But he knows that the name of Jesus matters. And so Jesus said, I've already fought the fight. I've already beat the devil. I've already made an open show of him. I've already bore sickness. I've already bore sin. I've already bore poverty. I've already taken care of all of that. I've given you the victory. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. I've raised you up together with me. Yes. You are with me. You are joint heirs with Christ. That's what the Bible says. That's who you are. But the enemy wants to know if you know that's who you are. Because when he comes in and he's a giant and he's saying, I don't have to go anywhere. Insecurity, anger, all that stuff, I don't have to go anywhere. He wants to know if you know that he has to go. We got to declare the victory now, right now. Turn over your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 45. 1 Samuel 17, 45. David said to the Philistine, this is David, he's talking to Goliath, he's talking to that giant who's been out taunting the children of Israel for over 100 days. He's been telling them that he's going to beat them, that they're going to be slaves to him. He's been saying that. And David says to the Philistine, he says, he's speaking to the enemy. And he shows us how to speak to the enemy. He said, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled against this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. You know what? Is that how you talk to your enemy? Is that how you talk to depression? Is that how you talk to lack? Is that how you talk to things going on? Do you say that you come against me, but I come against you in the name of Jesus? I'm going to show the world that you have no power over me. I'm going to rise up out of this defeat. I'm going to rise up out of lack. I'm going to rise up out of anxiety. I'm going to rise up out of depression. I'm going to show you. I'm going to show the devil you got no power over me. Is that how you talk to the enemy? Or do you say, oh, man, it's here again. Oh, man, it's here again. Oh, man, this stinks. Here we go. How do we talk to the enemy? We need to learn from David, because you know what? David didn't have the Holy Ghost. He didn't have the name of Jesus. He didn't have a Lord that already defeated the enemy. He didn't have that. But we do. Amen. We do. He said, I'm going to feed your flesh and everybody that's with you. I'm going to feed you to the enemy. Man, we need to speak to lack and say, you know what? You're trying to keep me down. You're trying to make decisions for me, but I am led by the Lord. I am led by the Holy Ghost. I am led by God. I am not led by you. I'm going to follow God. And God's going to show himself strong, and the whole world will know that Jesus is who he says he is. That Jesus is the King of Kings. That Jesus is the head and not the tail. He's made me that. How do we talk to our enemy? Because how you talk to the enemy really shows whether you believe he's beat or not. It shows if you know who you are. It shows. How do you talk to the enemy in your life? How do you talk to those Goliaths? Are you tiptoeing around them because you don't want to wake them up? Oh, I don't want to wake them up. No, man, we need to wake them up and smack them around and say, you don't belong in my life. You can't even be here because of what Jesus has done. Isn't that what David said? He says, I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day. We need to say, this very day, I have the victory. This very day. But too many people, we're talking about the problem and we're not talking about the answer. You're going to do more talking about the answer than you ever will just whining about the problem. Oh, nobody likes me. Nothing works out for me. Work is hard for me. Oh, my boss doesn't like me. I'm always having trouble. Whatever it is, my in-laws don't like me. My outlaws don't like me. Nobody likes me. Listen, maybe nobody likes you, but there might be a reason.
Watch out.
It might be that insecurity's coming out. That anger's coming out. You're pushing everybody's button because you don't want anybody to look at you. Because that's how insecurity acts. We got to take care of that. We got to say, you know what? No more. No more. I don't need that. I don't need that. I want to have peace in my life. I want to have security in my life. I want to feel good about myself. How many want to feel good about yourself? Man, I want to feel good about me. I'm tired of the enemy lying to me. We got to speak to that and say, you know what? I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm going to talk about the answer. The answer is who I am in Christ. The answer is what God has done in me. The answer is what Jesus has done for me. That's the answer. Man, the more I talk about that, my problems seem minuscule. When you talk about how big God is, the next time you look at your problems, you're going to be like, man, I was freaked out by that. I was freaked out by that. My God is so big. My God is so powerful. My God is so amazing in what he's done for me. And I was freaked out about that. But if you camp in the problem, if you're just in the problem all the time, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You say, but Peggy, you don't know what my problem is. I don't care what your problem is. I know who God is. Man, you don't know what what my problem is.
Hello.
I got problems too. But I will not camp in them.
No.
I will not let them get bigger than anything else in my life. And that's exactly what a problem tries to do. A problem tries to make itself the biggest thing in your life. And if you let it be the biggest thing in your life, it will have the most power in your life. Just like that couple talking about money. Money became the biggest thing in their life. And it had the most power in their life. You can let your looks have the most power in your life. You can let who you're with have the most power in your life. You can let the opinions of people have the most power in your life. You can let acceptance and likes and retweets and Facebook and all that craziness, you can let that have the most power in your life. And whatever has the most power in your life, it's going to be the decision maker in your life. It's going to make the decisions. And so we've got to talk to our problem like David did. David said, here is what I'm going to do to you. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what the Word of God says. Here's what's going to happen now. Whatever lack's going on, whatever poverty, whatever depression, whatever it is you need to say, here's what's going to happen. You're going to turn in Jesus' name. Here's what's going to happen. This situation is going to get better. I don't care what you say. I don't care how it looks. I don't care what's going on. I believe the word. But you got to say that. Everything God did, everything he did starts with speaking. We learned that in Genesis. And God said, and God said, and God said. We learned that from David. And David said, he spoke before he fought. He spoke before he fought. And we just want to lay in bed and be like, I'm not talking. I'm not talking. I'm not saying anything. Verse number 47 says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spirit that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Man, you need to look at what, and this is Old Testament. Amen. This is Old Testament. Whatever's in the Old Testament that's good is better in the New Testament. Amen. That's just a good way to look at it. Whatever is in the Old Testament that's good is better because Jesus said it's a better covenant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if David could talk to Goliath like that, man, how can I talk to a Goliath? How can I talk even more powerfully? Because I'm coming to them. I'm not coming just the anointing upon me. I'm coming with the anointing in me. Amen. He's in me. Just like you said, it's not by sword. I don't have to put my fists up. No, I got to open my mouth. And I got to speak the word. How are you talking to your enemy? You know, when we remember the children of Israel, when they walked around the walls of Jericho, the Bible says, don't say a word 13 times. 13 times says, don't say anything. And then they said, shout, for the Lord has given you the city.
Hallelujah.
Were the walls still up when they shouted?
Yes.
Yeah. And so for those who are like, I don't have anything to say. Somebody in here, that's what you're saying. You're like, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say. And you're saying it with an attitude. You got your neck going and everything. I can't do that. You can do it. I don't have anything to say. You don't have anything to say because you don't know the word. You don't have anything to say because you're not letting Jesus fight for you. You don't have anything to say because you want to do it on your own instead of letting God do it. That's why you don't have anything to say. We got to say the word. We got to speak the word. Tell the enemy the word. He doesn't care what you think. He cares what the word says. He cares whether you believe the word. I don't have to come up with anything new to say. I just speak the word. Amen. People are like, well, I don't know what to say. Speak the word. Turn over to Mark 11:23. When we look here, we need to say, I'm a winner. I'm a winner right now. What you hear the most, listen to me, what you hear the most will determine your beliefs, and your beliefs will establish your faith. What you hear the most, and that means what you say too. Sometimes when we say that, we think of stuff coming this way, but it's what you say. If all you hear is you say, It's never going to change. It's never going to be different. I'm never going to be healed. It's never going to happen. So-and-so wasn't healed. So-and-so wasn't healed. So-and-so, bop, whatever you're saying. If that's all you hear, it's establishing your beliefs. Your beliefs establish your faith. You're saying, why don't I have any faith? Because all you hear is how nothing works. That's all you hear, because that's all you say. That's all you say. We got to break that habit. We got to break that. We got to have friends around us, you know, and don't be everybody's confession police, right? Don't be that. That's just an annoying person. Don't be that. But, you know, there's some times where we got to say, like, hey, you know, my friend Marisol, you know, she and I, we have a pact. If one of us starts speaking unbelief, we have liberty and freedom in each other's life to say, hey, now, let's back up a minute. What's the word say? Go ahead. You can say what's happening. Say what's happening. But God. Yeah. Amen? But God, you need that in your life. You need that in your life. Because if we're not careful, all we're going to do is talk the problem. It's human nature to talk the problem. It's human nature to talk about what annoys us. It's human nature to talk about the weaknesses and all that. It's just how we are. Look at the news. All they talk about is what is wrong. What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Hey, let's talk the answer. Listen, let me give you a news flash. We do not need more newscasters.
Woo! Praise the Lord. Hey.
We don't need that. There's enough people talking about what's wrong. Let's speak the answer. Here's what God's word says. Here's what God's word says. Here's what God promises. Amen? And so when we look here, we've got to remind ourselves. We've got to say it again and again and again. We got to say, I have the victory. Man, if you don't say anything, just speak and say, I have the victory here. I've got the victory here. God is at work on the inside of me. His word will come to pass. The Bible says that God is watching over his word. What, just to do nothing? No, to perform it. He supplies the power for his word. But if all we're speaking is the negative and what's wrong and what's weak in us and what we think is wrong with us, if that's all we're talking, God's up there going, come on! Come on! Just speak the word. Just speak the word. And what Jesus said, he said, speak the word only. Just speak the word. And when we speak the word, you say, it just doesn't seem to make sense. I'm gonna say I have the victory, but it looks like I'm losing. When did David say that I'm going to feed your flesh to the enemies? Before he ever charged. You got to say it now. That's called faith. That's called faith. That's the thing we have the problem with. Like, well, we're all, you know, we've got a bunch of Thomases. I'll see it. I'll believe it when I see it. No, Jesus says, blessed are those who believed it before they saw it. When do we start saying it? Right now. Right now. You have no idea. Maybe I sound like a broken record. I don't care. You have no idea of the power of your words. You have no idea. If we had an idea, we'd put a lock on here and we'd be like, man, I'm going to speak the word only. You have no idea of the power of your words over your children.
Amen.
How many people, they're 40, 50 years old and they still are walking around with the wounds of something their parents said to them?
Yep.
There is power in your words. There is power in your words. We fight from victory. And we got to say it. Man, I got the victory right now. I got the victory right now. I got the victory right now. Amen? We got to say it again. David proclaimed God as his answer. Listen to me. 9 times. You know I like numbers. David declared God as his answer 9 times, but he only referred to Goliath twice. And when he referred to Goliath, it was packed up in what he's going to do to him. Isn't that a good lesson? 9 times. He's got a literal giant who's been scaring the pants off the whole army of Israel, which was an accomplished army. They weren't a bunch of weaklings. These guys were accomplished, fierce fighters. But the enemy had convinced them that they had met their match, that somebody was bigger than them, that somebody was more powerful than them. And he stood out there day after day after day. Now listen to what's at stake, because you know what? It's at stake in your life too. Goliath said, if I beat you, then you and all your people will be our slaves. How many, you know what that means? Listen to me, dads. That meant that your children will become the slaves of that enemy army. That your daughters, we'll just leave that there. There was a lot at stake. The lives of their families, the lives of their children, everything was at stake. And Goliath stood out there and he taunted that army. It wasn't a bunch of school kids, it was an army. And he told them day after day, who you're going to send. And they hid and they talked about it and they talked about it and they talked about how that nobody could beat that Goliath. And then somebody showed up. David showed up, and by his words, he changed everything. By his words. And you know how you're going to change everything? By your words. By your words. You got to speak it. David proclaimed God as his answer 9 times. David declared God's word over the situation. What do we need to do? We got to do the same thing. Has God changed? No. If anything, it's only gotten better since now. Because now the Holy Ghost is in us. Now we're in a new covenant. Now God is different now. Amen. Different in a way. Not that God doesn't change, but now we live under a new covenant with Jesus. He has paid the price. He has made the way where we can have fellowship with God in person, face to face. He's in us. The veil is torn. We just sang the song. Yeah. And so we live under a better covenant. And so when we think about this, we gotta say, you know what? What's my part? In Mark 11:23, this is what he says. This is Jesus talking. Truly I tell you, if anyone says, say that word with me. Says. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Because here's the thing, if I do my part, I know God will do his part. And so often we think that my part is some, you know, religion will tell you that your part is to help pay the bill. Religion will tell you that your part, there's a whole group of people every year around Easter, they're over in South America somewhere, and their culture, their religion, which is man-made, their religion has them go on their knees until their knees are bloody and the skin is falling off of them. They go on their knees and they're doing that to show their, I don't even know because it's so foreign to my mind, to show their worth. They feel like they got to do that. They got to pay somehow. They got to have blood spilt in order for something to work. That's religion. Jesus' blood was already spilt. His blood was spilt, so yours doesn't have to be. Amen? Religion tells you you got to help lift the load or pay the price. And Jesus is like, no, man, I already did that for you. Your job, my job, is not to fight for the victory. My job is to enforce the victory Jesus already got. That's my, and how do I do that? I keep speaking the word. Because you know what? The enemy, he has to obey the word. He has to. Smith Wigglesworth used to tell this story, and he was an amazing man of faith. He used to say, there was a dog that would come to the bus stop. The dog would follow a lady from the bus stop. He told this story. And the lady would say, go home. And the dog would just sit there. And she'd say, go on home now. Go on home. You know how we are. Go on home. You're so cute. Go on home. And the dog would just sit there. But when she said, stomped her foot and said it with a raised voice, where that dog knew she meant it, guess what that dog did? Went home. Went home. The Bible says, resist the enemy and he will flee from you. I like one translation. It says it this way. It says, shout a loud no. Shout a loud no. When I do my part, God's already done his part. 1 Samuel 17:48-49, listen to this, says, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Did David have a part to play? Yes. Do you have a part to play? Yes. I don't have to sling a slingshot anymore. I don't have to fight in the natural anymore because the Bible says that I don't fight like that. My battle's not with flesh and blood anymore. My battle is in the spirit. But what I need to do is faith will trigger an action. Faith will trigger an action, and faith is acting on what you believe. If you can't speak to your mountain, Mark Hankin says, he goes, if you can't speak to your mountain, if your faith can't move your mouth, it'll never move your mountain. Isn't that good? If your faith can't move your mouth, it'll never move your mountain. We're like, man, I want to, this nation needs to change. You can't even speak the word of God. How are you going to change the nation? Amen. We're all like, listen, you can hold a sign and go march somewhere if you want, but speaking the word of God's going to do more than that ever will. Amen. Amen. More than that ever will. Not that that's not a good thing. I'm not saying that. I'm saying don't think doing these things in the natural are an equal to speaking the word of God, because the word of God has no equal. It has no rival. Amen. The Bible says, and the word was with God and the word was God. So when I speak the word, what's happening? I'm doing my part. Jesus already did his part. Faith is acting on what you believe. David ran at his giant. He ran at the giant. I don't have to run at the giant anymore. I just have to speak the word. And you know what? Just like at camp, when Justin spoke his name, kids didn't budge. But when they spoke the name that had the authority, they moved. Nobody's going to move for my name, Peggy. Nobody's going to move for that. But I'll tell you what, everything will move for the name of Jesus. It has to. You say, well, it hasn't moved yet. It hasn't moved yet. Do you know that in Genesis, God started, the prophecy started happening that Jesus was coming. Jesus was coming. It was over 7,000 years before Jesus came. When God told Noah to build the ark, it had never rained before. Never rained. And he's telling everybody there's going to be a flood. It was over 100 years before the rain began to fall. But what did he do? He kept building, kept building, kept building. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, they kept walking. They didn't see change until they came back by. Then they saw the change. Don't give up on the word. Don't give up on the things of God. I will never forget one day years ago, Philip Slaughter was teaching at BBC, and he was going up and down the front, and he said, so many times, it's like a football game. You got the ball, I got the ball, and you're right, you're almost to the end zone, you're almost to the touchdown, and the enemy's telling you the whole time, it's too late, it's not going to change, been too long, better give up, just drop the ball. He said, so often we drop the ball right before that touchdown. We just got to make a decision, I will not stop speaking the word, no matter what. It may take some time. All through the Word, some miracles are instantaneous. Some take a little while. I don't know about you, but I'll take a miracle however it comes. Amen. I'll take it however it comes. But I'll tell you how it will never come. It will never come if you give up. It will never come if all you do is speak the problem. It will never come if you can't speak to your mountain. Because faith produces action. Faith produced, just like with David, it produced action. And he ran toward Goliath. And you know what? When you build your faith up, when you hear the word of God, when you get good teaching on faith, when you fill yourself up with God's word, when you hear more about what God says than about the problem, it will produce an action in you. And you'll start speaking to things. You'll look at things and say, what are you doing in my life? You can't even be here. What are you doing in my life? Sin will be so, so, so ugly to you. I always tell people, don't concentrate on your sin. Concentrate on Jesus. Because when you concentrate on him and you keep walking towards him, that sin gets uglier and uglier and you don't want any part of it. But if all you do is focus on the wrong thing, then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we got to ask ourselves, am I talking about the problem or am I talking about the answer? Because the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. But the more I talk about the problem, the stronger it gets, the bigger it gets, the uglier, the hairier, the more like Goliath, where we're just like, we start being, man, if you're afraid of something, you let it get too big in your life. Do you hear me? If you're afraid of something, you've let it get too big in your life. You need to knock it down. You've heard that expression. We need to knock it down to size. We need to knock it down to size. You need to knock some things down to size. Because they're not that big. They're just wanting you to think they are. Amen? You know, when we think about David, he didn't have a title. He didn't have a position. He didn't have any respect. He didn't have any support. He didn't have anything. But he had faith. And maybe you're here today and you're like, I'm all alone. Nobody is with me. Nobody is supporting me. Nobody is helping me. I'm here to tell you that God himself is on your side. And if God be for you, does it really matter who's against you? No, it doesn't. Quit looking at all the things you don't have and remind yourself of who you do have. Amen? Don't let things make you afraid. Don't let this world put you into fear. Don't let anything scare you. He has no rival. He has no equal. Amen? Let's start talking to the enemy the way he deserves. I'm going to feed you to the birds. I'm going to feed you to the birds. Because you are defeated. Amen. Now remember that thing you thought of at the beginning of service? I want you just right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting. Just start talking to that thing. Telling it, you got to go. You've got to go. You come against me with insecurity. You come against me with all the things that maybe are messed up in my life right now. You come against me with facts and figures. You come against me with my past. I come against you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against you with the one who has forgiven me for every sin and put them in the sea of forgetfulness, washed them away from me. They are no longer part of me. I come against you in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Don't let the enemy lie to you. You say, well, how do I know if it's a lie? The Bible says the Holy Ghost, one of his names, God has names and they reveal to us who he is the revealer of truth. You have truth in you. And here's the thing about truth. It recognizes lies. It recognizes lies. And you'll know. because truth is in you. Whatever that is you wrote down or you thought about at the beginning of service today, I want you all day to just tell it, just tell it. Don't tell it how big it is or how long it's been there. No, say, you are defeated. I have the victory. God has empowered me. God has made me able. I am an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. Jesus Christ himself defeated you for me. Doesn't that sound good? Let's talk to the enemy, talk to those Goliaths the way we're supposed to. They've got no power. No power at all. You have the victory. Say that with me. Say, I have the victory. Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't know what else to say, just say that. I've got the victory right now. I've got it right now. Because of Jesus. Man, the enemy's been trying to convince believers they are powerless and weak for too long. We're the giant killers. Amen. That's our job. We're giant slayers. That's who we are. That's who you are right now. Let's pray together.